Gonna make it? Kind of interesting with Christmas being on Saturday, isn't it? This is the Sunday before Christmas. So I'm glad we have Christmas Eve service as well. And looking forward to that too. Lots of things going on in our church. I shouldn't be surprised. Lots of things going on individually and as a church family as well. And but God is in charge. Let me help you out a little bit, because as usual, you know, we don't mind when there's leftovers at the dinner table. In fact, I kind of like leftovers, but sometimes leftovers with the preaching is like, wow, there's so much. It's like being at a fire hydrant and trying to drink from it as they open it up full tilt. So what I'd like to do today is, there's not many blanks, but I'd like to give them to you right at the start. So when you fall asleep sometime, you can find out where you're at, or maybe what you missed, or whatever else, as we think about this. We're going to take a look here, as you see, and it's in a little small print, and I'm going to kind of hurry through it a little bit. Biblical information about shepherds, some background to help us understand a little bit, and then historical information about shepherds as well. But obviously the main points are in bigger print there. As you think about pursuing God's glory, God reveals his glory to the shepherds. Now, I realize that that was an extremely amazing point in time for the shepherds. And we don't live in all those mountaintop experiences. So when you think about pursuing God's glory, this is a great example. And I'm sure if you are saved that you are pursuing God's glory. But I don't know about you, but as you get older than the Lord and just older, period, Jesus Christ is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that's going to last for all of eternity, as well as people. And so it's all about God, and we have the privilege to be used of him. As imperfect as we are, we still sin, we still wrestle and things. So let me just encourage you to start out with, because it's a challenging message, pursuing God's glory and what we have an appetite for. And, you know, we are all weak and we are all strong. We have weaknesses, we have strengths, spiritually, physically, mentally, and on we can go with that. And so just as you think about this message, we can all grow in pursuing God's glory. We can all grow in pursuing and knowing more of him, yielding more to the Spirit of God, drawing close to him, dwelling with him. Let me just challenge you to start out with here. Are you burdened for the salvation of souls? Let me narrow it down. Who are you burdened for? Who are you praying for? This one. Who are you praying for to be saved? And I know many of you are. Who are you discipling on purpose and intentionally? There's nothing like going to the Scriptures one-on-one with someone to realize you need to be discipled as well and not just be the discipler. I think about this with last Sunday's message and about worshiping God in the normal. And yes, these shepherds, this is a mountaintop experience for them. We're going to talk a little bit more about when they came back after that experience and things. And just day-to-day drawing close to God, identifying what our appetite is leading us to that is not pleasing to him, that is not in accordance with his word, whatever, however you want to put it, and saying, God, help me to right now, in this normal time, if you will, to pursue your glory. That because I am in this situation, that I am in this store, that I'm in this home, that I'm in this whatever circumstance it is, that I would bring attention to God, not myself, not to the difficult circumstances primarily. I'm not saying to have our heads in the sand, but why did God allow that? All the world revolves around God trying to bring folks to a saving knowledge of himself. So look at number 3 on your handout there, just to give us some cohesiveness before I start going too fast. God reveals his glory to the shepherds. Often in Scripture, when an angel shows up, people get scared. They were afraid. They were very afraid. But you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I really believe America is kind of too big for its britches. Sorry, that's just an opinion. It needs to be knocked down. I think we're getting knocked down a little bit. Lord willing, maybe we'll look up to the God of gods. 3.2 on your handout, the shepherds immediately buy in. They believe. They know. This is not politics. This is not about any country in the world. This is about a heavenly country. This is about the God of gods. They believe. 3.3, when the glory of God breaks through to you, the biblical norm is the biblical norm. The biblical norm is that it's going to result in a massive difference in your life from that point forward. Get used to different, embrace different, because we on this earth, even though we're saved, have lots of room to change to be more like Jesus. Not so much on the outward, what we do or do not do, but on the inward, the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Josh has been going through the Beatitudes. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus, the bread of life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He changes us and He keeps changing us until one day we'll be in glory and we shall see Him as He is. And then we shall be like Him. Praise God. But you know, part of the witness is folks seeing the changes that He's making in our lives. That we are growing and becoming more like Christ. And if that is true, then obviously all the glory goes to Him. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot do that. Number 4 on your handout there, the shepherds teach us what it means to be a pursuer of God's glory. It's a life marked by faith. Continuing to believe. Every jot and tittle of the Word of God. I believe. I believe when it's difficult. I believe when, because of my limited faculties and experience, I respectfully, reverently speaking, don't like it. But it's true because you said so. Yes, sir, God. Reverence. 4.2, a life marked by works and fruit. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Walk knowing that we have the privilege to work for God. We are His workmanship. He leaves us here to work for Him. It's our privilege. 4.3, a life marked by declaration. Declaring, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, live it. Live it out in our walk. But yes, then declare. The word of God is alive and powerful. And 4.4, a life marked by worship. Corporate worship, wonderful. Worship yesterday when I was meeting with a man and discipling him, wonderful. Worship when you're out in the woods, in creation. I think for some hunters, be they male or female, I think some amazing worship goes on in the fields. And whatever it is, and maybe a place or a situation, and you know as well as I do, sometimes just alone, and maybe your prayer closet or whatnot, there is wonderful worship going on there as well. All kinds of different worship. Notice at the end of the handout that the real obstacle of the pursuit of the glory of God. Now this is a killer. Is that we pursue our own glory. If we leave a situation, if all I remember is you, that's an indication. That's an indication. The ultimate expression of salvation is your heart's increasing pursuit of God. It is all about Him. And that's not because He's mean. That's because He is good, always good. And our hearts are deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Got to share that with you. It is... Let me encourage you. Who is it that you can get with and share the gospel with? Who is it that you can get with who has recently been saved? There's nothing like a newborn baby physically, and there's nothing like a newborn baby spiritually. What a blessing. So let's go back and talk a little bit about biblical information about shepherds. Let's pray first. Our Father, we come to You today, and Lord, it's the week of Christmas. The last day of this week is Saturday, and that is Christmas Day. And Father, we believe with all of our hearts that it is good and proper and biblical to celebrate the fact that You sent Your Son from eternity past to take on human flesh, to identify with us, for Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin. Father, for Him to live a perfect life and to lay down His life, not because He sinned, because He did not, but because we sinned and we could not care for it. Thank you for your justice, and thank you that Jesus Christ is both just and justifier. The shedding of his blood, the giving of his life, as we just sang, born to die. He died so that we would not have to stay dead spiritually. He rose again to prove that you accepted his payment, and that he is alive forevermore. May our lives grow in pursuing you, pursuing your Son, pursuing a yieldedness to your Spirit, yielding to your Spirit, enabling us to do just that. We ask for your help and all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no blanks or anything on this, so I'm going to speed through it a little bit. Biblical information about shepherds. Shepherds, usually pretty positive images in the Bible. Abel, Genesis 4. Abel is the first shepherd, I believe, mentioned in the Bible. Righteous man, righteous sacrifice. Okay? David, talked about in Sunday school today. King David, shepherd boy. Probably in these same exact fields that we're reading about in Luke 2. Amazing. God has it, doesn't he? And do know that, apply that. God has it all covered. Nothing catches him by surprise. I hope that's an encouragement to you. David, keeping and protecting sheep. The bear and the lion attack. Really neat how God put that together. I certainly didn't as we're studying that right now. So David, courage, righteousness, skill, dependence upon God. 1.3 on my handout here, not on yours. The Lord. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We all know that. So God even puts himself in the role of a shepherd to illustrate to us a little bit about who he is, the occupation of a shepherd. God takes care of us. He sacrifices for us. He protects us. So the Lord, caregiver, sacrificer, protector, sounds like a parent, if you will, a shepherd of a child. Shepherding a Child's Heart is a book that is a good one to read about parenting. Next, Jesus, biblical information about shepherds. Jesus, who says, John 10, verse 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows you. He brings in your life trials and challenges to put you down. No, to lift him up, to help you to recognize who you are, a sinner saved by grace, that you still need Jesus to live this life effectively for him. But it's a great privilege, a sacred trust, an honor, and a responsibility. He said in John 14, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does he mean by that? I think about the illustration of a shepherd. At night, the shepherd, for a century there, would make some kind of corral, protect the sheep, sometimes made of stone, whatever, he would come back to maybe several times, made out of stone or whatnot, sometimes bushes if that wasn't available or if they were moving about and not where he had made something previously. There would be an opening, obviously, for the sheep to go in and to go out. The shepherd would lay down across the opening so that no sheep could get out and no predator could get in. God has every jot and tittle down. We often quote about numbering the hairs of your head, but he knows everything that's going on inside of your heart, your mind, and your will, your struggles, your joys, your sorrows. How about this? Another shepherd, Ephesians 4:11, the pastor. In his word, God then speaks of human men who will lead his people, and he calls them what? Shepherds, pastors. Interesting for humility for pastors, including myself. Actually, the term pastor that is most commonly used in the Bible comes from a French term, which is a derivative of pasteur, where they go out and they eat. And that word is a derivative of the Greek term. Pastor means shepherd. The biblical use of the term is a feeder, someone who feeds you, one who cares for your soul by feeding you biblical truth. Pastor, a feeder, spiritual food. We are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. How is it with you? What are you pursuing? What did you pursue? How much did you pursue yourself and avail yourself of the Spirit of God speaking to you directly, just you and God and the Word of God? You're here today. Kudos. Encouragement. You are here to follow what God says, that there's a preacher, there's a local church, and the Word of God is going forth. Lord willing, in the power of the Spirit of God, to be received with faith by all of us, including me, who hear it. So we have this beautiful picture of a shepherd in the Bible. The Bible. A quality shepherd is someone who is going to image God's shepherding. We're going to reflect him. We're going to model ourselves after Jesus Christ. the good shepherd. Someone who cares for you, protects you, sacrifices for you, feeds you. There's courage, there's strength involved, yes, but there's absolutely a holy dependence upon God. And as we pursue God, we are to shepherd others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to seek others to bring them into the fold. He that winneth souls is wise. I get it. We plant, we water, only God wins them. But you understand, I mean, God uses us to give out the word of God. Shepherds defend sheep because sheep are defenseless. In fact, they get a lot of wool and fall over. They are called cast sheep and they can't get back up by themselves. The shepherd has to help them up. We are vulnerable people, aren't we? And every pastor, and certainly myself, identifies not just with being a shepherd, because I'm also a sheep. Vulnerable, struggling. As every good, godly parent is like, who am I, a sinner, to be an example and try to rear these children, nurture and admonition of God? But that's good, because we recognize who we are. I'm no better than they, but God has entrusted me with this, and I'm going to give an account to God. We need to try to become more like God and pursue Him because of God and myself. But it's a good motivation to do it for the kids too. Because we influence them. Whether alive or dead, we influence them, our testimony. We need protecting. We need God on our side. Left on their own, sheep will eat anything they find, even poisonous things that will kill them. Getting back to our text though, that's some biblical information. How about some historical information? It's important. I'm tempted to jump over it, but I'm not going to. Historical information about shepherds. First century, shepherding was not a prized job. There's a reason, as we went over in Sunday school, again, David and Goliath. David and his brothers. There's a reason the younger brother of the family, David, is sent out to watch the flock while all the other brothers go to war. Because he's seen as a youth, and shepherding is lowly. You stay here and watch the sheep, David. We'll take care of business. Job. Job has enough wealth, he hires folks to watch his flocks. That's a job to farm out to somebody else. It's a lowly job. Job had better things to do. He certainly was esteemed by God. I'm not putting him down. That actually began this thinking, even in Jewish culture, that shepherding was not a prized profession. It's not as significant at this point in history when Jesus was born, but it will be in a few years that we look back on, but look forward to from our text. They even enacted laws that shepherds were not permitted to give testimony in court because they were not people who were trusted. Amazing. The laws, the traditions of men. Why would they even think that? Because shepherds, if you're going to protect your flock at night back in the day, what do you have to do? You have to stay awake to keep watch. News flash, if you're awake all night, what's that going to do to you in the daytime when most other folks are awake and look at you and say, hey, he's lazy. He's sleeping all day. People are quick to jump to conclusions not knowing by far the whole story. Nobody usually sees the work the shepherd's doing to protect either. They just see him sleeping when they're working. So culturally, they saw shepherds as lazy people wandering all over the place to feed the sheep, constantly on the move, so there's not a long-term stability. Look at them. They're jumping from one thing to another. Okay, so shepherds came to be thought of as lazy, wanderers, immature, unstable, smelly, frankly. They were with the sheep. They stunk. They were despised. So in Jewish culture, the shepherds were constantly religiously unclean, ceremonial unclean. They're with animals all the time. That limited their ability to worship in the synagogue or the temple because it's a major production to go through, a season of purification. So shepherds came to often be rejected for, if you will, corporate worship. But I tell you, God used them to worship here in this field, and God reached out to them. Folks, there's folks who will never come and darken a church building. But we need to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ so that we're living it out. And they see us as a shepherd that is willing to sacrifice and declare and live and love and protect and speak the truth with love. The first people that God speaks of right after the birth of Jesus are lowly, despised, rejected, unclean people. Hallelujah, there's hope for me. Oh, come, all you unfaithful. How about it? Is there anybody here that's always been faithful to Jesus Christ? I was thinking about that today. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. It's all of him. Because I am unfaithful. Know who you are. You are a sinner saved by grace. You have room to grow. You have not arrived. What's going in your mind here today, even right now? Are you pursuing God or are you pursuing yourself, your thoughts, your ways? Are you here, the old song, fill my cup, Lord. I want to learn of you. I want to become more like you. I want to be more effective. The shepherds. It's an amazing truth for us. Don't miss it. He spoke to the shepherds first. When you and I, without Christ, lowly, spiritually unclean, lost in sin, just like the shepherds. But they believed and they pursued the glory of God. And we can too. I would ask you to identify at any point in any day, what are you pursuing? Why is what's coming out of your mouth coming out of it? Why is what you are doing being done? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God reveals his glory to the shepherds. So when we look at and understand both the biblical and historical information, it sets the stage for the revelation that these shepherds received. So we have these shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, sitting in the field, protecting their flock outside of Bethlehem, and the angels come. The angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. What happens? Boom! When was the last time you went boom? When was the last time you fell on your face at the glory of God? When was the last time you ranted and raved because things didn't go the way you thought they should go? The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Great fear. Linguistically, the Greek language. The English KJV says sore afraid, but the Greek states that they were afraid, afraid. The Greek repeats the word afraid, that emphasis to show just how afraid these shepherds were. They were shaking in their boots, and the shepherds scared to death. Ah, that's saying something because these were not weenies. They were strong men out in the fields at night. As I mentioned before, 3.1, your hand out there, often in Scripture, when an angel shows up, people get scared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God enough to change when he gently taps on your heart? The angel gives them this message, this astounding truth. This is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this little baby. You're going to find him in a feeding trough. Talked about that last week a little bit. Not so abnormal for that day. Suddenly there's with the angel multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory, glory to God in the highest. Get used to different shepherds. Get used to different 2021 folks. God doesn't change, but this old world does, and it's not changing the right direction. But Jesus came to meet us where we are, and we need to meet this world where they are. Not condoning, but going on out. Seeking to be effective. Great host. It's interesting, this multitude of the heavenly host. I get it. I appreciate all the nice artwork and all that kind of thing, but sometimes, mention that, even with David and Goliath today in Sunday school, sometimes these nice pictures, it's like, but yeah, this is how it was. No. It's more like a military army to conquer land, a landing party. God intervening in the world that he created that he knew was rejecting him and would reject the son that he was sending. It's like the 82nd Airborne just dropping in angelic form. We have shining light, we have ear-splitting singing or whatever they're saying, glory to God. And then, boom, it's dark again. Boy, how about it? We get that. Sometimes high points in our lives and then, you know, the normal is just dark again. Was that really real? Nah. Let me just focus on myself again or my circumstances or anything else I can complain or whine about that isn't going my way. The shepherds, though, immediately bought in. They believe. If you will, maybe one was named Job. No offense, Joe. Maybe one was named Eli. Maybe Joe turns to Eli. But they immediately buy in. And in this moment of revelation, what's the Word of God, revelation to us? God has revealed himself to us. His Word is alive. What has God taught you this Christmas season? How has he encouraged your heart specifically? I'm not complaining. I put out a heartbeat. I said, should we just trash it? You know, I put on that. How about a testimony for Jesus Christ? No, I need to make sure I have supper ready. Why are we not intentional Why are we not going out shopping intentionally? It doesn't matter about fixing the plumbing. It matters how I respond in my testimony. It doesn't matter if I get the perfect gift. It matters, the glory of God matters. It doesn't matter if I go to Sunday school if I'm not plugged in. What matters? What are we hungering and thirsting for? When the glory of God breaks through to you, oh, we need that. I liked how the song the choir sang went and it got quieter. Be still and know that I am God. Have you made time this Christmas season to be still? To know that He is God? Yes, maybe even literally to get on your face just by yourself so it's not a legalistic thing. When was the last time you wept at the goodness of God? When was the last time you wept at your sin from this week? Did you confess any? What have you asked for specifically? What prayer has been answered this week specifically in your life? God, I can't reach everybody, but I'd like to see some folks saved. How about you? I've been challenged by that. I've been praying. You know what? God answers prayer. And we have not because we ask that. Who are you discipling? I can't. I'm too stupid. Mm-mm. No. That's a cop-out that's focusing on you and not on God, who says, go ye. Go ye. When the glory of God breaks through to you, when you taste and see that the Lord is good, the biblical norm, is that it's going to result in a massive difference in your life. And this old world needs to see that difference. Amen? I know I'm tanked up. I'm not mad. I'm burdened. God deliver us from entering into 2022 the same as we were in 2021. Amen? I want to pursue God. Is anything we can see from the last 2 years or short of that is that this world needs God. They need Jesus Christ. They need the vaccine that we know that works. They need the blood of Christ. They need us talking more about Jesus than about a vaccine or a mask or a politics, any president you want to choose, any political figure, the weather, the sports teams, closing down. What is it? Could we just sometimes see what is on our appetite? Say, God, deliver me from it. One thing is that sometimes new believers ask old believers, not necessarily old in age, but length of time being saved, is why they don't seem excited anymore. It's for sure a newborn baby. And spiritually, it is a joy. I next week, Lord, we're going to preach on joy. There is joy in the glory of Jesus Christ. There is joy that cannot be taken away by your circumstances, by COVID, by your spouse, by your children, by your parents, by any circumstance here. There is joy in Jesus. Do you believe it? Are we just following a little further off from the world, but down the merry path of focusing on ourselves and our own glory instead of God? Why aren't older folks, I don't mean old in age, I mean folks that have been saved a long time, and not everybody, but, you know, what's the reason for that? Well, some folks who think they were saved long ago, but they were never truly saved. But some have lost their taste for the glory of God. Instead of using our increasing difficulties and challenges with older age, we focus on them. We need to focus on God. And the reason we focus on them is because we're in the habit of focusing on ourselves. Number four, the shepherds teach us what it means to be a pursuer of God. The shepherds point us in their very lives and behavior of what it means. Four markers of being a pursuer of God's glory, a life marked by faith. The shepherds didn't wonder if they were drunk. They were not confused like many are in our day. God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused, run to God. He'll help you. They believed. When they believed, there was this immediate presence of faith, and we understand that faith is a gift of God. Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go. When was the last time you had that heartbeat? I know you can't do it all the time, but did you have it this past week, this past month, this year? When was the last time you had a burning, I want to taste and see that God is good. I want to read about it. I want to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Pray it. Ask God for it. The shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. What has the Lord made known to you that you cannot wait to share that has changed your life this week? We'd be upset physically if our children were not changing and growing physically. It's easier to see that than to see the spiritual. But in America, we're seeing the spiritual ungrowth greatly. How about you? Though God had given an angel and had the angel give the news to the shepherds, they recognized that it came from the Lord, faith. They recognized God working in their lives. What a privilege, what a responsibility that was. Why did the shepherds believe? Because they were the best people near Bethlehem. Because they were the top-notch crew. Because they were educated, well-refined people. No, they're out there eating off their hands, smelling like smoke and sheep. Rejected by religious folks. Because they didn't meet the traditions and the standards of the church or the temple or whatever of that day. Deliver us from forms of godliness, denying the power of God. Ineffective religion. When God's glory comes, when it comes the gift of faith and the shepherds believed, we need to be in the Word of God, not legalistically. So if you're like me, sometimes I don't feel like reading the Word of God. God, help me to want to read the Word of God. He can answer prayer. Help me to make time to pray, specifically. Help me. Ask. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. A pursuer of God's glory is a life marked by faith, belief, trust, dependence on God. 4.2, a life marked by works and fruit. Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing. Da, 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 da. It's not just what they believed, but their belief was marked by effort. Faith without works is dead, James 2.20. Useless, false, fake. That's why in Matthew 7.16, God says that we will know false professors. By their fruits you shall know them. There's an indication. The shepherds are not content to remain where they were, physically or spiritually. What are we going to do? You know, the angels didn't tell them to do anything, but the shepherds' faith produced some movement. It takes intentionality. It takes accountability. And yes, God is our accountability partner, no irreverence intended. But God uses people, folks who will speak the truth to us in love. Hypocrite! You're good at speaking, but what about your life? We all have blind spots. You have someone who you would yield and risk having them tell you that? Well, God does. Yep. What happens? Happens to preachers all the time. You offended me. Oh, not God. You did. Thus saith the Lord. When faith in God comes, it always produces works and fruit. Always. And we need to go from faith to faith. Well, I got saved. Let me tell you about it. 39 years ago. That's great. Glad to hear about it. How about this week? God drew these shepherds. He's the initiator. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. The drawing is God's part, but a proof of the shepherds' belief is their pursuit of God. If we are not pursuing Jesus, we most likely never got born again in the first place. Because when faith comes, the normal biblical results are works and fruits. What does that look like? It looks like a life bent on pursuing the glory of God. I've got this. I want more. So these shepherds leave everything. It looks very sacrificial, doesn't it? Yep, it is. The glory of God is so profound in them that the shepherds are willing. The Bible says, with haste, I want more. The shepherds go. They get up, great sacrifice. They go now because the treasure, King Jesus, is so much better than everything else. When the glory of God invades your life, instead of being overwhelmed with this world and myself and others that will always disappoint us ultimately, eventually, there's nothing else to compare to the glory of God. And that's the way the shepherds looked at it. They said, okay, we're going. 4.3 in your hand out there, a life marked by declaration. When they had seen it, they made known abroad. Now they're going house to house looking for him. Knock, knock. Any babies here? Interesting to think about it. They didn't text. Fascinating. You know, there'd be more knocks on those doors 2 years later to kill all the babies there. But that's a different kind of pursuit, isn't it? What's your appetite? Are you killing babies? Or are you worshiping them? These shepherds looking for the Messiah, and they find him, and they're unwilling to keep this to themselves. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Glory pursuers are marked by this reality. Who are you declaring the gospel to? God's glory pursuers are not willing to be containers of information or witnesses only, but they must be declarers of the truth that has found them. Everyone's going to think they're nuts. They rejected Jesus. You're in the best company of this world and heaven to come. The shepherds didn't care because the message of God's glory wasn't about them, it was about Jesus. And it's so delightful to you that you want everybody to know, regardless of how they respond to you. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I will give you rest. Our country needs rest. Who do you know that needs rest? Mental rest, emotional rest, all these folks killing themselves, and mental, I'm not making fun, I'm not condemning. Why? Confusion. Because God's people, if they are God's people, are not pursuing God. They're going through forms of godliness, denying the power thereof. America has been given much. I can't do anything about the past, but I can't do anything about you, but I can do something about me. I'd say, God, help me to grow in pursuing you. Lastly, a life marked by worship. The shepherds returned then, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The detail of Luke, it doesn't say that they went back glorifying God because their sheep are still there. Interesting to think about that. Oh, I didn't lose as much as I thought I might lose. I left all these sheep here. I get it. These shepherds' hearts, it's a heart thing, are infused with worship, with praise. Fast forward 2 years later, 2 a.m. in the morning, Joe Shepherd says to Eli Shepherd, do you remember? They don't have to go into detail. Yeah, I remember. It was real. And it's changed me and it's changing me. The glory of God affects every part of their lives. It just... let him have his way. The Spirit of God indwells us. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. When you're in a situation, you know, and you just want to... yield to the Spirit of God. This message is not mine, it's God's. It was preached in 2016 by one of my son's pastors, and I preached it here in 2017. I'm just going to be honest. That's a good thing, isn't it? Pastor Josh was going to preach last Sunday. He texted me Saturday night that he was sick. Preacher's always ready to preach, right? I didn't get it till Sunday morning. I preached a lot of Christmas messages. So last Sunday morning, I'm like, what am I going to preach? Get on the database? Okay. And there's great liberty when you're in a situation like that, because it's like, but you should have prepared. Yep, okay, yep, I'm a sinner. But the Lord had in my heart about these messages out of many that I could have chosen, including this one. So I'm saying I got this, and I'm going to just quote what that pastor wrote, what I preached in 2017, and here it is, what I chose a week ago today to be preaching today, what I believe the Lord chose. Here's a question. What has happened in American Christianity that we think the defining attribute of my worship is that I show up for church? Ooh. That's not the mark of glory pursuers. Yes, they show up for church because that's a delightful gift from God of corporate worship that images heaven to you, and that's good. But it is a daily existence of glory pursuit. It permeates you because you are consumed with the glory of God. You want to tell others. You want to meditate on it. You want to know more. Set my affection on you. I want to know you more. Why do we lose the next generation? Because we have parents who don't delight in the glory of God. We have children that believe that church is a prison. And they come and they sit and it's boring and it's gross. And I'm going home with parents who are not going to be affected by anything that happened at that church. They're not living it out. America needs to own our sin. But it must first begin at the house of God. It's not the person sitting next to you, it's you. What is God speaking to your heart about? Your pursuit of glory marked more by the pursuit of you at the cost of other people rather than the pursuit of God's glory at the cost of you. Can I repeat that? Are we pursuing our own glory marked more by the pursuit of you and the cost of other people rather than the pursuit of God's glory at a cost of you? It's all good, but do we get it or do we just have all this hubbub? It's all good. And it's the right thing. But we go out and we do all this stuff to celebrate as we should. But we remain the same. And want to just keep doing the same, being the same, frankly. I want to change. There are things that should not change. Jesus doesn't. His word doesn't. But people change. The English language changes. There are different ways that are biblical of reaching out to folks. Here's a good prayer to pray. Lord, help us not to change personally as a church anything that you don't want us to change, but dear God, help us to change things that you do want us to change, to yield to your Spirit leading us in that. The ultimate expression of salvation is your heart's increasing pursuit of God. There's a hymn. It's 226. Would you turn with it to me? 226.